us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. He settled at the cross. Great song. Want to take a couple of minutes. Brother House was scheduled to be here this morning, and as I've told you here last few weeks, that if he physically, his health would not allow him to be here this morning. I texted him on Wednesday, and just said, don't count on it. And so we miss Brother House. He's in his early 90s now. Has been a tremendous blessing to our church. And so be in prayer for him, for his health. But it is good this morning. We have a super sub. I asked my dad to preach for us this morning. Amen. My dad and mom got into church when I was about 2 years old. And when I was around 11 years old, my dad and the music director of the church we were in went to the big metropolis of Nakona and started a church. My dad helped Brother Martin start that church when I was 11 years old. When I was about 15, my dad took the pastor to that church, again, bio-vocational. Worked in the oil field. All that time, by the way, working in the oil field. His home church, the church there in Bowie, was, I don't know, at some point, children's church director, deacon. He sang in the choir. That's a whole nother story. had help. But he served everywhere, had a full-time job serving, but then became bio-vocational pastor there in Bowie. Still had his oil field job and then preaching 3 days a week. And when I was 18, after my wife and I got married, his real job, oil field job, moved him to Snyder. And just within a short period of time, he became the pastor of the Victory Baptist Church there in Snyder. Was there 12 years pastoring that church. Again, bio-vocational. Do you realize, understand that most of the ministers in America are bio-vocational? I'm blessed. Most youth pastors, I'm going to remind some of our staff, most ministerial staff in America are bio-vocational. We are blessed. We are blessed. And you go look it up, it's around 70% or so, 80% of all ministers in America are bio-vocational. And so my dad, again, working a full-time job, sometimes as much as 48 hours. I know at one time he was on schedule, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, working in the oil field, and yet pastored. And just showing you again, I've talked a lot about my dad. He's not perfect. I know y'all think he is because of the things I talk about. But I'm thankful for a dad who practiced what he preached and then so faithful to the ministry, serving, preaching, doing all those things, and working a full-time job. As many of you do, some of you who teach here and work here and are blessed, and we are blessed for you to be a part of the ministry here, working a secular job and yet diving in and helping us over and over and over again. It does not go unnoticed. And I have my dad to thank for that, watching him work in the secular world, but also being so heavily involved in preaching. So I appreciate him. He moved here down here towards us here a few years ago. We're thankful he's close to us. He'll be taking the Berean class full-time next Sunday and taking Brother Zellner's spot, and so he'll take that Sunday school class, and I appreciate him willingness. Happy Father's Day. I'll have my dad come and preach for us for a little bit, and he's a little nervous, so y'all pray for him. Notice I didn't do any sarcasm. I appreciate love my dad very much.
He's loud and make an old man cry. If you would, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. I used a theme verse to kind of open this up. The title is How to Be a Better Father. This is Father's Day. We're here to honor fathers. How do you be a better father? I think our theme verse kind of speaks for itself. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy path, Father. Be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. This is Father's Day, and we're here to honor fathers. I wish my father was here so I could honor him. I had a good dad. Now, I learned later in my years, I learned that he didn't start out so good as a young man. He was a roughneck and a rounder. You know what I mean by that? And but he told me one time after he got saved and we were up in years, you know, he said, concerning tithing, son, I have no problem in tithing because I used to give more to the devil than I do to God. He was a faithful man. He was a man of good character. He was someone that when he told you something, you could depend on it. It was going to be done. He was a loving man, a caring man. He cared for his family. He provided for his family. Now, my son bragged on me, which is almost embarrassing, but I brag on my dad. This is Father's Day, and I'm supposed to honor my father, so I will honor my father in saying a few things about him. He loved my mother. I'm the only rotten child they had, so he loved me because they spoiled me pretty good. Mama would spoil me and Daddy would correct me. And my dad, he believed in the old-fashioned form of correcting. Amen. Amen. Yeah. We done that little dance. Right. Round the merry-go-round. He did not warp my mind, but he did warp another place. In 1970, I was blessed. After getting married in 1968, I was blessed. My wife blessed me with our first child. We named him Danny Harlan Crawford. Danny for me, Harlan for my dad. And I was blessed to be a dad. He was born on Mother's Day. And I became a father. Unsaved, not thinking I was saved, but I was unsaved. And not really knowing how to raise a kid. And I had my own ideas that you're going to do what I tell you to do one way or the other. I was not the best father because I was living that, I was a rounder too. I dropped out of church and done my own thing. Be careful about dropping out of church and doing your own thing. It doesn't pay.
Amen.
I found that it didn't pay after a few years of doing my own thing with my children. And because four years later, we had this one. I'm responsible for him. Then a year and a half later, we had a little girl. So I became a father three times over. Now, as I said, I was not doing a good job. My family started falling apart. My marriage started falling apart. Raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's true. Because when things started falling apart, I remembered something. I remembered what my daddy and my mama had taught me. I remembered what the preachers had preached. I remembered what the Sunday school teachers had taught. And I realized that if I was going to save my marriage, if I was going to save my life, I need to return to the church. I need to return to Christ.
Amen.
And the secret is, I did. And we did. It was a struggle in many ways. Had a five-year-old who, in fact, that's how they got us in church. They got his name. The bus ministry got his name. But I had a year and a half, two-year-old that didn't like Sunday school very well. In fact, I even told our Sunday school class, they asked me if I could tell some things on him. And I said, yeah, there's one when he was about 2 years old, 3 years old, the teachers came and got me out of my class, said, come and do something with your son. He is kicking me. Well, we got that fixed. It took a few trips outside the church doors to get it fixed, but we had a good talk. How to be a good dad. I learned. God taught me. When we got in church and then we got saved, see, there's something about you're going to be a good father, you're going to be a good father, you're going to be a better father, you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Ye must be born again. You must accept Christ as your Savior. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new.
Amen.
I needed a change. And when I found Jesus Christ, truly found Jesus Christ as my Savior, I found a change.
Amen.
If you want to be a better father, if you want to be a good father, if you want to be a better father, you're going to have to make sure you're saved first. Have you been born again? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Do you know Him personally? Have you put Him into your life, into your family?
Amen.
How to be a better father. Have faith in God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. We're talking about being a father, so if you want to be a better father, you need to acknowledge Christ in your family. How to be a better father, you learn from the Word of God. A man named Manoah, whose wife was barren, the angel came and told her they were going to have a son. And anyway, Manoah's father entreated the Lord and said, "Oh, my Lord, let the man of God or the angel which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us that what we shall do that this child may be born." In other words, how are we to raise this son as a Nazarite, as you said? We don't know how. And man of God, the angel, told them how. You know, and Paul told Timothy, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ." It's the Scriptures that are by which you, it's by the Scriptures that you raise your children that will make them what they are to be. So they can learn, grow up and know God and know the Lord and be saved and have the right character that they should have. It's only through knowing the Lord.
Amen.
He went on to say, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished in all good works." How are you to be a good father and a better father? Well, first of all, make sure you're saved. And something came to my mind there as I was sitting a while ago. It's not only important to be saved, but he says be filled with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide. For instance, I thought the merry-go-round was the way to chasing your kids. But it came to me that it was not really right. I didn't say that I didn't spank him after that. I just said there was a more disciplined way to do it. So that you hit the spot where God told you to hit. So, Eric, we made a little rule. If you've done something wrong, Dad will decide how bad it is. And I will give you 1 to 4 swats, depending on what you did. And you will lay over the bed and you will not do the merry-go-round. You lay over the bed, and if you get up, we start over. You know what? We never had to start over. But you know what? It became a more discipline, where it was controlled, and I didn't hurt nobody. Amen? You're not to beat your child. You're not to over-hurt your child, but to do it in the right way. And I agree, timeouts can work. Amen? Taking phones away from a child can work. Taking a car away from children will work. Taking a girlfriend away from children will work. Would you like another story?
Go ahead.
Well, I had this deal that he and his sister had to wash dishes. He hates washing dishes. He's even been known to pay her to wash dishes for him. But I had this little card I put up on the refrigerator and had lines. And when they washed dishes, they would initial. So I could kind of keep it under control how many times they took turns. Supposedly they're supposed to take turns. But if they got out of line, I could still count and see how many. And I told him it was his turn. And he absently said, no, it's not my turn. I said, well, it is today, it's your turn. We went on like that for a few times. I don't lose my temper very often, but I lost it. I broke a mug on the table. I said, it's your turn. No, it's not my turn. I tell you what, you won't get to go see Tanya this week. Well, it wasn't that quick. He said, not my turn. I said, you ain't going to go see her for 2 days. I think we got up to 3 or 4 days. Anyway, that's far. He finally washed the dishes. The next week, my loving son come to Dad and said, Dad, I'm sorry. Amen. See, that's the way discipline works. Dad, I'm sorry. Can I go see Tanya? Yes, son. Since you repented, you can go see Tanya. I probably got ahead on that story of what I was going to. Well, that's all right. I think y'all enjoyed it anyway. How to be a better father. Assume the headship of your home. And whether they liked it or not at times, I assumed the headship of my home under the direction of God by the scriptures. I tried to do what God said. As he said a while ago, my dad's not perfect. I'm far, 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 far from it. The only one that's perfect is Jesus. Amen. If I've done anything good as a father, as a husband, it's been because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the directions I received through the scriptures and by the Holy Spirit of God. I had no doubt as far as the way of discipline. It was the Lord that guided me in the discipline my children correctly. Even if it was not letting him go see Tanya. Assume the headship of your home. God will hold you responsible, Dad. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. There is an order of things that God has set up. Me and my wife were equals, but at the same time, by authority, I was the head. Was I supposed to be a dictator or a bully? No. Dad, you're not supposed to be a dictator or a bully. You're supposed to be a loving leader. Amen. What time did you say that's supposed to be through? You're supposed to be the spiritual leader of your home. Look with me, if you will, in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You're supposed to be the leader in devotions, in church attendance, in worship. Let me say this while I'm thinking of it. After I got saved and we had our family in church, there never was, from the time we got saved, and I ain't pat myself on the back, that's because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. There never was a question of whether, are we going to church this morning, Dad? Listen here, moms and dads. There should never be a question. Your children should never question, are we going to church this morning? Are we going to church this afternoon, tonight? Are we going to church Wednesday? Are we going to the revival? There should never be a question. I'm telling all of you in here this morning that it ought to be automatic. My children never asked. They just got up on Sunday morning and started cleaning up and started getting their clothes on and getting ready for church. Amen. That when that's settled, it settles it all. Good. And your children will grow up to appreciate it. Yep. Right. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, hear chapter, verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord, and the Lord, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy might." Let your kids know you're not a hypocrite. You love God. You love the Lord. You show it in your practice, daily practice, and how, what you do, how you talk, where you go, what you listen to, the music you listen to, the TV programs you listen to. Love the Lord with all thine heart. And I didn't know what I'm saying that. Let your kids know that you're not perfect. They know you're not perfect. But be willing to ask for forgiveness when in evil. For what you've done, what you've said, or where you've went. To admit that you're wrong. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets before thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thy house and upon thy gates. Said all that, read all that to say, set up devotions in your home. We mentioned it once in a while, but this is not a suggestion. This is something you've got to do. You've got to have devotions. You've got to have some form of showing these children the scriptures, of getting them grounded in God's word, introducing them to a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. It took me a while, but I finally got it. So let me tell you how I did it, and you can do it somehow, however you decide it's best for you. I started getting up before I went to work at about 6 o'clock in the morning. I usually had to head out about 7 o'clock. But I fixed a real breakfast for my children. I fixed pancakes. Amen. I fixed oatmeal and sausage. Amen. I fixed bacon and eggs. Amen. Or I fixed homemade biscuits and gravy. Amen. See, he'd get up for that. But we spent that, but then as we ate that breakfast, we read the scriptures and we had devotions. It took me a while. He was already in high school by the time I got that down. But I got it down and we did it every morning. You can do something too if you don't give up. The trick is just because you miss one day don't mean you have to miss the next. Or you miss 2 days, you don't have to miss the next day. Get started, get restarted, get restarted if you have to. Amen. Have devotions with your children. Let them know that God is important to you. It says they wrote the scriptures on the doorpost so that when the kids left that morning, they seen the last thing they saw was the scriptures. When they came home, the first thing they saw was the scriptures. Right. They know there's a real God.
Amen.
Introduce your children to the scriptures and let them know that you believe it's important. Make them know that church is important. Forsake not the assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is. Join in worship. Worship in the Lord. Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods that your fathers served on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." Here's your key phrase. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You're going to be a better dad? That's the way it's got to be. You're going to be a better dad? Be the physical provider. In this day and time, usually the man and the wife both work nowadays. But gentlemen, If your wife's going to work, you sure better make sure you got a job too. Amen. And provide for your family. Amen?
Amen?
Take care of your family. The Word of God says, "But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." And along with that, teach your children to work. They're not to be couch potatoes. They are to keep their room clean. They are to help in the yard. They are to wash the car. Now, back in my day, they were the channel changer, too, but we don't do that no more. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. I was real nervous about having enough. Now I got too much. And I want to hit on this spot mainly. Well, I said I would. I ain't going to do it as my son and say, I just hadn't got used to this new Bible yet. I can't find the pages. Well, I hadn't got used to this old Bible yet. I can't find the pages. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Dad, you want to be a better dad? Love your children's mother.
That's good. Amen.
Love her with all your heart. Love is not something that you just comes and goes. There may be some times when you don't feel like you love her. It may be sometimes she don't feel like she loves you. Most married couples have experienced that at some time in life. A lot of us have. Amen. But God doesn't believe in divorce. What used to be twain is now made one. And he said, don't let man separate you. Amen. And I know there's some in here being divorced. You start from where you're at right now, and you make it good. Here's what you do. You take the word divorce out of your vocabulary and never use it again. Never use it. Let your children know that your marriage is solid and dependable, and they're not going to wake up one morning and one of you be gone. Husband, love your wife. Even as Christ loved the church. Love and respect and assure your wife that she can count on you. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of God. Understand, if you don't know it by now, your wife is different than you. Amen?
Amen?
Learn to love her, honor her at all times. Well, I've had too many points. That's all right. Proverbs, the third thing you need to do to be a better father is to love and raise your children. Be a part of their life. As we've said over and over again, T-I-M-E spells love. Take care of your children. Don't leave it up just to your wife. But take your children to their, whatever they're in, football, basketball, choir, drama. Be involved. Amen? I loved it when Eric was playing football, and that was easy to go see. But my oldest son was a long-distance runner. I went to see his long distance runs. I watched him leave. And I watched him come in. He was really good. I mean, he would get first and second place in most of his meets and even got second place in district. But I would see him leave and see him come in. I was there, brother.
Amen.
Be there for your children.
Amen.
Amen. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents, for this is right. Honor your father and thy mother, for this is the first commandment. This is not an option, young people. Teach your children to mind. And we could go a lot deeper in this, but I'm running out of time. Teach your children, discipline your children in a loving manner. They're born rebels. They're born selfish. But they need to be taught to be obedient. Not allowed to be a rebel or you have to kind of simmer that stubbornness down. If you get that stubbornness under control, it can be used by God. I'll say one thing I never had, after I got his problem under control, I never had to worry about what he was going to accomplish. I never told him he had to do this or do that. He did it. Now, his older brother, a little different. His older brother's more like me in that respect. Got to learn everything the hard way. He goes on here to say, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Train your children. Train your children and start when they're little. If you wait till they're up here, you're too late. You start when they're down here. Yeah, it doesn't hurt to spat their hands. Well, you got to remove everything and put everything up. It'd be a whole lot better if you teach them not to touch it for their own good. Train your children. Teach them to come to you, to not run away from you. It might save their life. Truthfully, I got dogs that mind better than some kids I see at Walmart. Amen? Yeah. Train a child in the way he should go. Spend time. L-O-V-E-T-I-M-E. Amen? Yeah. Teach them to obey. Teach them to honor you. That means teach them to respect you, to fear you. See, you're in God. Till they get to a certain age, you're in God's place to them. You're over them. God's put you over them. You're supposed to be in control of them, no matter what their age is. Get their little rebellious hearts under control. Let me end in this, and I will. Teach them about Jesus. Teach them the Bible. I'll just end with it. I know I've said this already, but it needs special emphasis. Is church important? Yes, it is. Is Sunday school important? Yes. Is vacation Bible school important? Yes, it's coming up. Amen?
Amen.
Anything to do with God is important. How to be a better father? Well, take your place as the head of the home. Love your children's mother. And love your children and raise them. Help raise them. Be a part of raising them. Don't be an absentee dad. Amen?
Amen.
So let me repeat this, and we'll stand in a moment. If you want to be a better father, make sure you're saved. Are you saved? Do you know 100% sure that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven? Do you know the Lord personally? Are you on your way to heaven? If not, you need to get saved.
Amen.
If you're not walking in the Spirit, if you're not being filled with the Spirit, you need to get right with God.
Good.
Amen?
Yeah.
Let's stand. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Check your heart. Are you saved? Check your heart. Do you know the Lord? Dad. But it's not just for Dad. It's for Mom. Mom, do you know you're saved? Do your children know you're saved? Young people that are in here this morning, do you know that for sure you're saved? Do you know if something was to happen? Something was to go wrong? Your life would end? You'd go to heaven? Death isn't just for old people like me. Are you right with God? Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for letting me preach. I don't take it lightly, Lord. I pray, God, if there's someone here this morning that's not saved, that God, they'd humble themselves before you and come to the altar and get saved. If someone knows they're not quite right and they need to get things right with you, they need to humble themselves before the Lord and submit themselves to you. Lord, this altar is the place. Touch hearts as only you can touch, Lord. Lead, guide, direct. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.